Bible tells us that in the days before our Lord returns, that the world will be much as it was in the days of Noah, a time when men care little about the things of God, where the imaginations of their heart were only evil continually. I think if you evaluate the world in which we live today, you're going to find that that would characterize much of our world today. We live in a world that is waxing worse and worse, and men who name the name of Christ are not willing to endure for his name's sake. We also live in a world today where people lack the proper sensitivity toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We're entering into the Easter season, a time to be reminded of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's one of the greatest events, if not the greatest event in all of world history, the day that God died for sinful men. And there are many that will go through such events as this and not yet concerned or be sensitive in any way to Jesus Christ. We live in a day when we struggle to be sensitive to hear God speak, where sin can be tolerated and we would no longer be bothered by it. We are happy to be freed from the penalty of sin, but no longer desire to give our very best and serve the one who saved us eternally. Tonight I want to look at several examples beginning in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I want you to consider with me the theme of a sensitive heart. Bow with me in a word of prayer, and then we'll take up our consideration tonight. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you tonight that we're able to come and gather together to look into your word. And Lord, I pray that as we take a few moments remaining to consider these thoughts tonight, that you would be willing to teach us and to help us to have a heart sensitive to hear you speak, a heart that is sensitive to deal with sin, a heart that is willing to give our life in service to you. Father, I pray that you would teach us tonight and help us as we study your word. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and as we do so, as we take up this theme of a sensitive heart, I want you to see with me that first of all, there's a need for us to be sensitive to hear God speak. 1 Samuel chapter 3, I want you to begin reading with me, if you would, in verse 1. We'll read down through around verse 10. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time that Eli was laid down in this place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. In the first 10 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 3, we read the account of the child Samuel when he first would hear the voice of the Lord speak. to him. As I consider Samuel, I am reminded of an importance of a sensitivity in all of our hearts that we would hear God speak to us. Sensitive with a heart toward God and allow him to be able to speak when he needs to speak to us. Verse 10 gives us that wonderful statement of Samuel in which he says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Samuel was but a child. Yet God knows that he is able to speak to Samuel and he will hear him when he speaks. As we consider that thought again, the words of Samuel, "Speak, for thy servant heareth," we ask ourselves the question, why is that so important? Why does it matter that Samuel would have a heart willing to hear God when he speaks? Look at verse 1. Verse 1 said, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." It was precious at that time that God would speak. There was no open vision. There was no voice of God being heard. And I want you to be reminded what time period we are living in. As you stand here at 1 Samuel chapter 3, this is the time of the judges. Samuel would be the last judge and the great prophet. But you need to put yourself in that context. This is a day and age where men did that which is right in their own eyes, where every man did what they thought was best for them. This was a time where the nation wasn't seeking after God, and there was no open vision. So the fact that God would speak was precious. It's time of the judges. No king had yet been selected. There is no prophet whom God was speaking through. But now God's voice is heard again. And he chooses Samuel. Why choose Samuel? Why would God, in a day where there is no open vision, why would God seek to bring his word to Samuel, who is but a child, ministering in the temple before Eli? Why not Eli? Why Samuel? I think there's a few things that caused me to realize why God would choose to speak through Samuel. First of all, I think it's important to understand that Samuel was one who had a special upbringing. Samuel had a special upbringing. His mother Hannah had prayed for a son and promised that if the Lord would bless her with a son, she would dedicate and give that son back to the Lord. Here's the remarkable thing about Hannah. She not only promised it, but she carried through. That when that child was weaned, when he was but a young boy, she took him and she delivered him to the temple and gave him back to the Lord. She had a heart for the things of God. She was willing to carry it through. As I think of Hannah, I'm reminded, parents, just how much of an effect we can have upon our children by the way that we bring them up before the Lord. Willing to consecrate their very lives to Him. Willing to follow that through. I want you to think about this for a moment, parents. Maybe you, like my wife and I, took the time at some point and you said, "Lord, we give this child to you." There was a dedication service. We often do that around the time they're little babies. In that time of dedication, you promised that you would do everything within your power and your might and strength to see them brought up in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord, that they would love and serve the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. I'm going to ask you a hard question, parents. Are you following through on that commitment you made to God? Are you steering them in the ways of righteousness? Are you directing them towards God? I realize that the older they get, the more that their will comes out, that it gets harder and harder. But is it not our job to train them up and to bring them in the ways of the Lord? Train up a child in the way he should go, that when he's old, he will not depart. Can I remind you that Psalm 127 says that children are the heritage of the Lord. They belong to him anyway. They don't really belong to you. They don't belong to me. It's not about our will and our wishes and our plans for them. It's what God has for them. That's what matters the most. I think Israel could be thankful that Hannah was a parent that brought up her son right, because he was then in a position to hear God when he'd speak in a day where there was no open vision. But I want you to notice, secondly, his choices were surrendered. His choices were surrendered. In verse 1 again of chapter 3, we see that Samuel, as a child, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. As a child, he ministered unto the Lord. He decided that he was willing to serve the Lord. Not only did his parents make a commitment, not only did she follow through, he said, I'll stay. And he said, I'll serve. He surrendered to God. He was willingly to give his life in service to the Lord. Throughout the verses that we read, you see over and over Samuel running to Eli, ready to serve. I'm here. You called. What can I do? Is his heart. Over and again, three times he ran back. Eli, what do you need? I'm ready to serve. Now folks, it's night. He's supposed to be sleeping. He's a young child. But yet he was ready at the call of God to serve. That's why God would speak to him. Finally, I think it's good to note that Samuel demonstrated that he would be faithful with the message of the Lord. God was willing to speak because he knew Samuel would be faithful. All you have to do is read down through the rest of chapter 3, and you're going to find that the message that God gives to Samuel wasn't an easy one. In fact, it's a fearful one. God was going to share his displeasure for Eli and his sons. And Samuel had the responsibility as a child to deliver the message to Eli, the high priest, that his sons and he would be punished for their sin. But God knew that Samuel would be faithful to the message that he would give. A fearful message. God counted him trustworthy. I wonder if the Lord considers you and I trustworthy tonight to impart to us such a message. Eli's sons, although priests in the line to be the high priest, would never hear the voice of God. But to Samuel, God would speak. Now, folks, our days are a little different than in the days of Samuel and Eli. Today, the Word of God abounds. We have a copy of the Word of God before us. We have the time, the means, the resources to study it in depth. And yet, I think we find today a spiritual dearth in which many people have not yet heard the voice of God speak to them through His Word, and they struggle to discern what God is truly saying. We live in a day where it seems hard to apply the Word of God. I've marveled over the years as I have sat in different meetings. I've marveled to listen to spiritual leaders within the church. I've marveled to listen to them debate over issues concerning in considering that much of what their arguments and much of the arguments that they make have really nothing to do with the Word of God. I marvel when I hear of how people are counseled and how the Word of God is absent in such counsel. I marvel that when you offer people biblical counsel, people are willing to respond with things such as, I know that's what the Bible says, but I think my circumstance is just a little bit different, and I think we need to do something a little different than what the Bible would actually say. Or I don't think the Bible is really relevant in this matter. Folks, you and I need to live in a day and age where people will be sensitive to hear God when He speaks. And the Word of God abounds. I wonder if you would be willing to answer this question in your own mind. When's the last time you opened up your Bible and sat before the Lord that you can honestly say, He spoke to me today? When's the last time that you sat in the pew and heard the Word of God proclaimed that it wasn't just a religious exercise, but the Spirit of God truly spoke to your heart? I hope that we could say that happened this morning, that happened today as I read the Word of God. That goes on continually in my life. But folks, here's what I find. There are many today who have not heard the voice of God speak to them in a very long time. There are many people today who cannot apply the basic principles of God's Word to their life. And there's a need for you and I to be sensitive today to hear God when He speaks. God was able to speak to a young boy, Samuel. He was given a special upbringing and his choices were surrendered. And he demonstrated that he'd be faithful with that message. I wonder tonight if you're sensitive to hear God speak. We live in the days much like Noah. And there's a need for us to be sensitive to the Lord, to hear Him when He speaks. Take your Bible now, if you would, and turn over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 tonight. What I want you to see next with me is this, that you and I need to be sensitive in our lives to deal with sin. A sensitivity to properly deal with sin, and there is no greater example of this than David. Psalm 51, as you know, is the psalm of David's repentance. It shows us why this man would be considered a man after God's own heart, for it shows his sensitivity to deal with sin and deal with it properly before the Lord. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden parts. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. And David had a heart that was sensitive to deal with his sin. Verse 7 tells us, and verse 2 tells us, that he desired to be cleansed from his sin. Verse 16 and 17, he realized that he was willing to do whatever the Lord requested of him. He was willing to deal with sin. He was willing to confront it and confess it. Tonight, how sensitive are we towards sin? We gather tonight around the Lord's table, reminded that His body was broken, His blood was shed because of our sin. Can you go through a service like tonight and a time around the Lord's table with unconfessed sin, without any thought what Jesus Christ did for you, without wanting to offer to Him your repentance of heart? Sometimes our conscience becomes hardened, and even worse, it becomes seared to sin. That's why we often say things like we should keep a close account with God, to regularly confess our sin before Him, to say what God says about it, that we might be cleansed from all unrighteousness. For our sensitive heart towards sin knows that our sin separates us from God. And when we are separated from God, I want you to notice, He is not going to hear. You and I are not going to hear Him speak when God is not near. God longs for His people to be sensitive towards Him, to deal with their sin. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 6. We're not spending much time in each one. I just want to give you the thoughts tonight. You can consider them more deeply on your own. Our challenge tonight is to challenge us to have a heart sensitive towards God. Isaiah chapter 6 is a familiar chapter to us. There Isaiah sees the throne of God in the year the king Uzziah died. God's train filled the temple. Verse 2 says, above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, thou hast touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord. That ties into the first point. The verses before it tied into the second about sensitive towards sin. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me. A sensitivity to service. Isaiah was one willing to serve the Lord. Few men were privileged as the prophet Isaiah was privileged with his vision of heaven. And in this vision, Isaiah sees the throne of God. He sees the marvelous scene with the seraphim, each one having six wings, proclaiming the holiness of God. He is overwhelmed by such a vision and the grandeur of His holiness. He is immediately then broken in his response because of his own uncleanness and his sin, but he is cleansed. Then he hears the voice of the Lord asking the question, Whom will go for us? Who can I send? Who will serve? As Isaiah hears the voice of God and the question offered, without hesitation, he volunteers and says, I will go. I will serve. Folks, Isaiah had no idea what he was signing up for when he made that statement. Isaiah was going to make some very difficult prophecies in the days ahead. But he was also going to reveal the wonderful grace of God. The book of Isaiah is considered the Romans of the Old Testament, and the gospel message is clearly given. But Isaiah had no idea what he would be doing for the Lord, but he was sensitive and willing to serve. We live in days much different today. Few are looking for opportunities to serve. Many more have no desire whatsoever to serve. Churches are filled with parishioners who come to see what they might receive. They want to know what the church has to offer, and very little to know what they need to offer unto the Lord. Not long ago, I read a blog entitled Spiritual Narcissism. The author said at the outset that it's all in the name. Consider the names that we are familiar with in our society today. YouTube, MySpace, iPod, iTunes, iMac, iPhone. See the focus? Now we can chuckle at that and say, oh, come on. Folks, what is the purpose of YouTube? Provide me entertainment. Not really, and there's not a whole lot entertaining on it. It's for me to post things about me so that the world can look at me. And our world today is focused on me. The author of the blog said, if there is a theme of our day today, it's this. It's all about me. Maybe you've heard it said it this way. I've heard the problem related in these terms. There are a lot of chiefs, but very few Indians. There's a lot of folks who want it to be all about them, but very few who are willing just to serve. Folks, our churches are filled today with folks that are hooked on YouTube and glued to their iPhones, and have no idea that God has called them to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Notice again Isaiah's words as he sees this scene. For mine eyes, verse 5, have seen the King, the Lord of Hosts. Folks, that was a revelation to Isaiah. You know why? Because verse 1 says that these things happened in the year that King Uzziah died. That was his hero. It was also a family member, because Isaiah was part of the royal family. He looked up to Uzziah. Uzziah was a great king, a good king. But Isaiah said, you know what? I've seen the King. And he said, I'll sign up now to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A heart sensitive to serve. Finally tonight, I want you to consider with me a heart sensitive to sacrifice our very best. We don't need to turn tonight, but listed for you are two chapters, one in Genesis 22, the other in Romans chapter 12. We won't turn because of the time tonight. We're familiar with both of these passages. Genesis 22 is the story of Abraham, who willingly offered up his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loved. If you turn to that passage and you read it through on your own, you're going to find in verse 1 that it was a test given to him by the Lord. The purpose of that test was to prove in Abraham's life whom he loved more, God or himself. See, in Isaac, all the promises of God were given. I will make of thee a great nation. That nation could not be numbered in multitude. As the stars are in the heavens, so shall thy people be. And it held all the promises of the people of God. For in him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It all rested in Isaac. It all rested in Abraham's name being great. And God said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him for me in a place that I will show you of. I have marveled every time I've read that passage of Scripture that he never once hesitates. He never once questions God, but immediately he obeys. And I marvel that he carries it through. His son is bound and laid upon an altar. The knife is unsheathed, and he is ready to slay his son until God calls out and says, Abraham. By the way, I want you to consider this thought with me tonight. It's a good thing Abraham was sensitive to hear God when he spoke. He could have been so wrapped up in the circumstances that he was in, he never would have heard God speak to say, please stop. I know now whom you love. He was willing to hear, but willing to give his very best for God. Romans 12 is so familiar to us. And yet I often fear in those familiar verses that we can quote them, we can think of them, we can write them out without even having our mind to be in gear, and yet not truly comprehend the meaning of it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God isn't just asking for any sacrifice. He's asking for your best sacrifice. He isn't asking just for a part of you. He's asking for every part of you. Nothing to be withheld. By the way, this sacrifice isn't something that is done once and for all. Because it's not a dead sacrifice, it's a living sacrifice. That means it's continual. It is day by day by day. We lay our life upon the altar and say, it's not my life, it's Lord, it's yours. It's not my will, it's thine be done. It's for me to be able to say with all my heart, when I awake tomorrow morning, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Not I, but Christ, be honor, love, exalted. Not I, but Christ, be seen, be known, be heard. Not I, Christ. See, God wants us to give our very best. To give our whole life to Him. Nothing withheld. That's a heart sensitive to God. Folks, that's the heart we need today. And I'll be honest, it's the heart that's missing today throughout Christianity. A heart that says, I'll hear, Lord, when you speak. And when I stumble and when I fall, and believe me, you will and so will I. I'll keep a short account with you, and God, I'll confess my sin. And I desire so much to be cleansed that I can walk with you. And Lord, when you call me, I will serve you with my whole life. There is nothing that I would withhold. The sensitive heart today has been replaced with selfish hearts. A heart of flesh has been replaced with a heart of stone. And the prophet said to break up, Lord, the fallow ground. And that's the need of our heart tonight. There's no more important time for us to consider such a sensitive heart than the night at which we come and consider the fact that Jesus Christ came and voluntarily gave his life for you and for me. And knowing that all things accomplished, he went out. And he asked, whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. Peter put up the sword. For the cup that the Father has for me, that I'll drink. He willingly went to Calvary. Again, Paul said, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you give your very best for him. Do you have a heart sensitive towards God tonight? The way to answer that is to ask yourself this. Does God speak to me? Do I hear him when he speaks? Or is life so crowded with me that God just can't seem to get through? Folks, you realize that every time we gather together in this place, if each of us is doing our part, God's longing is to speak to you directly and me. But if we don't hear God when he speaks, then we might be able to look at our lives and say, you know what? I'm not sure my heart's all that sensitive to him. How sensitive are you to deal with sin? David, for some time, was willing to cover up his sin. But when he was confronted of it by God, he never covered it over anymore, but openly came and confessed his sin and sought the forgiveness of God, no matter the cost. Isaiah had a heart so sensitive that he was truly burdened when he saw the vision of God. The holiness of God. By the way, I am so glad we have a hymnal now that has holy, holy, holy in it, and we sang it this morning. I don't know how you put together a church hymnal without that hymn. I'm glad it's in there. When we see the holiness of God, how can we not offer ourselves to him to serve him? How can we then say, well, Lord, you know what? I'll serve you when it fits into my schedule, when it's convenient for me. Isaiah said, I'll go. But folks, when we understand all that Jesus Christ has done for us, how can we honestly have a heart so cold that still says, God can have some of it, but he can't have all of it? Can I say this to you kindly? If you're not going to give him all, he doesn't want any of it. If you want it to be about you, then make it about you. But folks, there is no such thing as a partial sacrifice. It's impossible. You can't offer half a lamb and keep the other half for you. It's illogical. It's unreasonable. Are you willing to give all your best for him? A heart sensitive towards the Lord. Let's pray together, please. Father, we thank you tonight that we can come to your word. We thank you tonight that we can consider such a text. Lord, we realize that these things are weighty in measure. But then, Father, tonight we gathered around the Lord's table and we consider what Jesus Christ has done for us. Is it not a night to consider such things of weight? Sometimes, Father, we don't want to be challenged in these things because we would prefer life to go on as it is. Happy to play whatever part we are playing, but unwilling to truly settle what needs to be settled. Father, I can't read the hearts and minds of people tonight. I don't know where everyone's at in their own walk spiritually. But I do know that you do. You know us perfectly, and there is nothing that can be hidden. For the book of Hebrews says that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Our life is filleted wide open. We can draw the curtain back on everybody else, but there is no curtain when it comes to you. It's been taken down and pulled asunder. And our eyes are laid before you tonight. Lord, what we have to do is be willing to come out from the shadows and truly ask ourselves, am I truly sensitive to God as He would speak? Am I willing to be sensitive in areas of sin in my life? Am I willing to serve? Am I willing to give my best? Father, that's not only true within our own lives, but within our families. We saw the example tonight of Hannah, a mom who was willing to follow through on what she had promised. Lord, every parent here needs to wrestle with those things in their own life, because those children within our home are not ours. They belong to You. And You, who are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, have the right to do with their life as You see fit. You are the potter. We are only clay. Lord, I pray for every parent that they would be willing to work with their children in such of a way to direct them towards the things of God. Sometimes the choices are hard and the sacrifices will be great. It may cost us much in this world. But is there any sacrifice too great for a son or a daughter to be used of God, to bring others to Jesus Christ, to be fit for the Master's use? Lord, if we can say, yes, that would be too great of a sacrifice, then truly as a parent, we're too selfish. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, everyone here tonight, would evaluate our own heart and say, Lord, I'll be sensitive to You in any way. Because there is nothing that compares to the sacrifice You made for me. Help us, Lord, as we close now. In Jesus' name, amen. Tim's going to